You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. Today's world is filled with books, but only the Bible is God's very word to us. Long ago, the Holy Spirit moved men to write down the very words of God for our temporal and eternal benefit. As we draw near to the end of the church year, we also think about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is part one in a series called The Return of Jesus. In this first part, we focus on what will happen before He returns. As we go over these various items, keep in mind that they very much line up with the world that we live in today. God wants us to know that though here on earth seems like it's forever and ever, God wants us to know it is temporary, an end is coming. God wants us to know that we need not fear that end. God wants us to know that we are sinners. We cannot do enough good to overcome our bad. We cannot fix the mess we have made. But God wants us to know that He loves us so much that through our Lord Jesus Christ, He has made the way for us to be with Him in a wonderful situation forever and ever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Grant us a right understanding and keep us ever ready for the return of Jesus as we trust in Him alone as our Savior. Bless our listening, dear Father, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are beginning a real short two-week sermon series on the return of Jesus. Today we're going to focus on what will happen before He returns, and then next week we will focus on what will happen when He actually does return. Next week we're going to touch on 12 brief little things that are going to happen, and all of these kind of come together all at once, or at least 11 of the 12 come together all at once, right when He comes. So I hope you're here with us, because it's going to be just a tremendous, exciting thing when all of this happens. And let's know about it, let's look forward to it, and let's know that in Jesus Christ, we are ready. Today, though, let's think about the reality that God created a perfect world, perfect in every way, without sin. But what happened, though? People sinned. People messed up God's perfect world. They brought separation and death into God's perfect world. But God was not done, though. God continued to love us, so God promised that through His Son, He would bring restoration and life for all people of all time. Boy, God is good. We don't deserve what He has done, but we should know it and we should rejoice in it. In regard to the two comings of Christ, the Bible says, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, He's already done that, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Is that true about you? Are you eagerly waiting for Him? You know, sometimes if you have like a wonderful vacation coming up soon, you might say, Jesus, could you delay just a little bit? I want to go on the vacation first. However, though, when life becomes very difficult, boy, you are saying, come quickly, come now, get me out of this messed up sinful world. Well, even with the vacation, I'm pretty sure that heaven is going to be a lot better than that vacation. So we don't even have to ask Him to delay for any reason at all. Well, as Christians, what has God done? God is the one who has taken action to make us sorry for our sins. God is the one who has taken action and enabled us to trust in Jesus alone as our Savior. And God is the one who then causes us to eagerly anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the only bad thing about it would be for those that we know who maybe are not yet in Christ. Certainly we know such people, and if He came right now, those people will be lost forever. So what God is saying to us, rejoice that you are in Christ, realize that He will come one day, And that will end any opportunity for other people who do not yet know him. So between now and then, we should do what we focused on last week, and we should care about the spiritual needs of others while we still have that opportunity. May God help us to live each day in that manner. Well, like I said, next week we'll focus on when he comes. Today we're going to look at a few things from Scripture that talk about how things will be in the world before he returns. The question to come to first is, when are the last days? Are we talking about just those 2 or 3 days right before Jesus comes? Well, in the Concordia Self-Study Bible, it gives this definition of the last days. It says the last days are defined as the whole period introduced by Christ's first coming. These days are last in comparison to Old Testament days, which were preliminary and preparatory. So the last days are a long period of time, but they are last in relation to the Old Testament days. Think about it like this. Here's a little bit different perspective on the last days. The Old Testament focused on the Savior to come. And then at the beginning of the New Testament, the Savior comes. And what did he do? He lived, he suffered, he died, he rose, he ascended. All of that has been done. Salvation, the work of salvation is finished. Heaven is open to everyone through Jesus Christ. So once all that has happened, which now it has, really the only thing that's left is for him to come back just as he promised. So from the time he ascended, or maybe we could say from the day of Pentecost forward, they've been waiting for him to come. And actually many, even in Jesus' day, they thought he would return before the end of their lives. We'll come to that idea here in a moment. But next question, what will the scoffers say? Are people going to make fun of us as Christians because we're waiting for Jesus to return and it's been so long? The Bible says that they will mock us for waiting on Jesus. They're going to say it's ridiculous. You guys waiting. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. He hasn't come. Give up on it already. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, they will say, where is this coming he promised? But we are to remember this reality. If we start to get caught up in that and say, well, yeah, you guys are right. It has been a long time. Maybe he's not coming. We shouldn't get caught up in that, because in that same section it says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Keep in mind that we are bound by time. So we have to get done with worship so we can go on to Bible class. We have to go to bed tonight so we can get up tomorrow. I mean, we are bound by time. But the Lord is not bound by time. For us, 1,000 years is a long, long time that we cannot hardly comprehend. We can study it historically. We can imagine 1,000 years ahead. We cannot hardly comprehend it. But for the Lord, though, that is a very short period of time because he is not bound by time. Furthermore, we should have this view, understand that the Lord has this view. He is delaying, in a sense, in coming, but he's being very patient and he's being very loving. What is God doing? God is allowing more and more time for people to repent and believe so that they can be with him forever. So on one hand, we know that there are Christians in the world now that are dying for the sake of Jesus Christ. And they want the Lord to come even before they have to face any more suffering. And we can certainly understand that. But at the same time, though, the Lord is saying, I know you're suffering, and I'm going to help you through that, but I love these other people so much that I'm going to delay because I want them to be with me too. So it's a tough thing. Should we put it off, though? Should we say, well, the Lord is delaying, and it's going to be a long, long time, so we'll just wait until later to get serious about it? Well, definitely we shouldn't, because again, in that same section of Scripture, it says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So at a very unexpected time, that is when a thief shows up. So when we do not expect him, he will come. So what is the solution? To simply always, always, always be ready. Next question, what are the birth pains? What are the birth pains? Well, maybe the women who have had children could relate to this a little bit more than the guys. But what are the birth pains, though? Well, taking a look here at some passages in Matthew 24, we find out that many will claim to be the Christ. The internet lists at least 16 people who have made that claim. They've showed up in the world, and they have claimed, I am the Christ. Some that you might remember would be Jim Jones from, about 25 years ago with Jonestown and all the people committing suicide and such. Another one would be David Koresh down in Waco, Texas. I don't know what happened there, happened with the fire, but they died when the building burned down and so on. And then, what was it, the Oklahoma City bombing? Wasn't that in retaliation to what happened in Waco, Texas? Maybe the person who did the bombing in Oklahoma thought that David Koresh really was the Christ. I mean, people have all kinds of crazy ideas, if you will. But what did Jesus say? In Matthew 24, he said, many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. If I ever start claiming that I am the Christ, please do not believe me, because I'm not. But why would anybody believe such a thing? If you only look in Scripture and try to line up a person with who Christ is, it's just not going to fit. But people are gullible, I guess. They're out there. They're wanting to follow something, to believe something. But let's not believe it, though. We will know when he comes. Also, too, the Bible says that there will be wars. Again, looking on the internet, it lists 17 different wars that are currently taking place in the world. We don't hear a lot about certain wars, but there are 17 of them currently taking place. Jesus said, you will hear of wars and of rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Now, we have it easy because we have peace here in the United States of America, maybe a little bit of a war on terror, but we haven't even seen that much here in our country. But there are people who are in the midst of war, and they're thinking it is so terrible in the midst of this war that any second Christ is going to come. But what did he say, though? See to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So the war itself is not the end, but it is pointing ahead to the end. Remember, these are the birth pains. When we think about people claiming to be Christ, that's a birth pain. When we think about the wars and rumors of wars, those are birth pains. Also, too, the Bible talks about famines and earthquakes. It's a kind of a shocking thing to me, but again, looking on the internet, it states that nearly 1 billion people, we're talking about 1/6, 1/7 of the entire world, about 1 billion people this year are going to face chronic hunger. In other words, they're going to be basically hungry all the time. Maybe not hungry enough to die, even though people, I'm sure, are dying of hunger, but kind of on the verge of dying, just hungry all the time, never having quite enough to eat to satisfy that desire of hunger. If maybe on a rare, rare occasion, one of us chose to fast for a period of time, then we feel a little bit hungry. But we just don't have that here in our country. We are just so blessed with so much. But there is much hunger around the world. Also, too, in one recent week, and this is kind of every week, in one recent week, in other words, in 1 7-day period, again, looking up on the internet, there were 34 different earthquakes that took place around the world in 1 week, and these are earthquakes that were a magnitude of 5.0 or higher. If you go below 5.2, there are maybe hundreds of them occurring in a single week. What did Jesus say? There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Again, part of the birth pains. So what do these claims of being Christ, wars, famines, earthquakes, what do they indicate? Jesus told us all these are the beginning of birth pains. So as birth pains, as actual birth pains would indicate that the baby will be born soon, what does Jesus want us to understand here? I believe he wants us to understand that hearing claims of people being Christ, of hearing about wars and rumors of wars, about hearing about famines and earthquakes, these are all things that are pointing to the closeness of Jesus' return. What is the solution? God is saying, always be ready.
We cannot make ourselves ready. God is the one who does it. He does it through baptism. He does it through the Bible. And then, as we gather here, as we spend time daily in the Word, as we live for Jesus Christ, God is working through such things in order to keep us ever ready for His return. The next question, how do Christians look like losers? This is the last section we're going to take a look at today. In reality, we are winners in Christ, but how do Christians look like losers? Well, first of all, because of persecution. Jesus said in Matthew 24, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Again, it's hard for us to relate to those kinds of things because we do not live in such a nation. We are so blessed and so privileged. But let's know that other people do live under those circumstances all the time. Let's at least cry out to God in prayer for them, that God would help them according to their great, great needs. Looking on the internet, there's a site called prisonalert.com. Prisonalert.com, and it has this longer quote in it. It says on that website, in more than 40 nations around the world, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. Now, we're probably not even included in that list. Actually, we're not, because I did look at the list of the countries. Certainly, there's persecution here in this country, too, but not to the extent that they have in these 40 countries. Goes on to say, in some of these nations, it is illegal to own a Bible, to share your faith in Christ, to change your faith, or to teach your children about Jesus. Can you imagine living in that kind of a situation? And then it goes on to say, those who boldly follow Christ, in spite of government edict or radical opposition, can face harassment, arrest, torture, and even death. Does that description sound like a bunch of winners? Doesn't it sound like a bunch of people who have lost? In other words, the evil world has stepped up and said, we are greater than you, weak Christians, and we're going to hurt you, we're going to torture you. If we want to, we're going to kill you, and no one can stop us, and your God means nothing, and he's not even up there. Doesn't it kind of seem that way? God wants us to know that that is the picture, in a sense, where great suffering is taking place, and if that begins to take place here, we could begin to despair. We might give up on God, saying, God, I'm not sure if you're real or not, so I'm going to side with the unbelievers so I don't have to face such bitter realities in my life. I can have it better here on earth being an unbeliever. Let's never come to that conclusion. A couple words of encouragement on that topic before we go on to this final part. In John chapter 16, Jesus knew something terrible was coming for him with his arrest, his suffering, his death, and so on. In John 16:33, Jesus said to his followers, these things I've spoken to you, in other words, he's told them what's coming, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So even though the world seems great and powerful and evil, with Jesus Christ and with our union with him, as he himself has overcome the world, so we, with him, will also overcome the evil world. Even though we look like losers sometimes, we in fact are the winners. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him. Talking here about Satan, and they are the ones who have faith in Jesus Christ. And they overcame him, how? Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And notice what it says at the end, and they did not love their life even to death. And they did not love their life even to death. In other words, they chose to die rather than renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. People are doing that around the world today, and if that would ever come to our nation, I pray that God would help all of us to stand firm in the very same way. Also, like Jesus said, you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who stands firm to the end who will be saved. And then we think about 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So even though, again, we might appear like we're losing, truly we have the victory, the eternal victory in Jesus Christ. Not by anything we have done, but because God has united us to Him, and by that union with Him, we share in His victory, and that will happen forever and ever. And even though it's not apparent in this life, it will be apparent for all eternity. Going on to this last little section here, what about decline, deception, and selfishness? Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Many will turn away from the faith. Many false prophets will appear, and the love of most will grow cold." Think about today. If you take a close look in America, they say about 85% of churches are either flatlined, in other words, no longer growing, or are declining. False teachings, we know, are so very common within many, many churches. It's a shocking thing how people could believe such things that are so much different than what the Scriptures are teaching. And then, love for self is so common today rather than love for others. So Jesus described things that would point to the end, and we're living certainly in those kinds of things this very day. So what should we do? Should we go and dig a hole and hide in that hole for fear? Is that how God wants us to proceed in life? By no means. Today is not a day for fear, but today is a day to be ever ready for the return of Jesus Christ, to know that God will keep us ready. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's a powerful being. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. And He is working through God's holy word in order to keep us aware of our sin. He's working to keep us sorry for our sin. He is working to keep us trusting in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. And then God has equipped us already because we are united to Christ. We know the way to heaven. So God has equipped us to reach out to others before it is too late for them. That's how we show the greatest love for others, is by caring about them according to their eternal salvation. Let us remember who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice in that. And let us know that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. As I think about the end times, the last days, that reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." Those are words written by Paul to Timothy, a young pastor. Let us see that today's world is in trouble. Let us realize that the return of Christ could be near. May God keep us in Christ, and may God use us to be a blessing to others. Thanks for listening. This program is listener-supported. Therefore, if the Lord leads you to give, go to benefitfromthebible.com. Then click on the donate button. To ask a question, write us at questions@benefitfromthebible.com. There are many ways to easily connect with us. Visit our website, benefitfromthebible.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Search for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook. Search for Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Parma. Join us for divine service or Bible class. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma.
See our website for our current schedule. We invite your prayers for this Bible ministry. Pray that God will enable many people to know His word of truth, be set free from their sins, and live for Jesus Christ. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.